Rolling. What's happening, y'all? Andy and Zach broadcasting from Studios 353 here in the depths of East Nashville. And you may be experiencing a new audio sensation right now.
Or stroking out. We're not sure.
Hopefully you're not going into epileptic shock. But we've got a new microphone set up here. So
indeed.
Yeah, so instead of crowding around a single microphone, we now have independent wireless mics clipped onto our collars here. So any little cough, burp, sneeze, I guess you're probably going to hear.
Yeah, I just had a burp. I mean, we are drinking beer as part of the show, so you're probably going to hear more of that.
Yeah, so you have that to look forward to.
We can't back away from, and we also can't, like, whisper like we did before, like whenever you tell me to get closer to the mic.
Right, our little side table talk.
Yeah, we're going to have to learn American Sign Language so that we can...
Well, now I don't have to hound you to get closer to the microphone.
And that's true. I am sitting back and very much enjoying relaxing against this. There's even a pillow right here that I might lean against.
You should, because my couch is typically not very comfortable.
Oh. It isn't a very big couch.
No, it's not. No, in fact, one of my good buddies, Patrick, made fun of me. He was like, you don't ever take naps on your couch, do you? I was like, no, I don't take naps, period. I was like, how can you tell? He's like, yeah, because your couch is too small.
Your couch is too small.
But actually, for me, if I just bend my legs a little bit, just curl up a little bit, it's actually pretty nice.
I was gonna say, if you curled up, it probably would be nice.
Again, that's my frame.
Did they put your TV on the wall there, or did you put your TV on the wall there?
I hired someone to put my TV on my wall.
Oh, I was gonna say, you could put that TV here, and then get a bigger couch over it. Just flip the room. And put a bigger couch over there, because you got your bookshelf here.
Yeah.
You got more space over there.
I could just put my bookshelf...
over there.
Over there.
In front of your, where your ring light is for all your OnlyFans content.
Yeah, where would I put my ring light?
In the bedroom for the OnlyFans content.
Touche, my man. So, right, enough.
So we're going to move your bookshelf over there, and then you're going to get a bigger couch. Okay, figured it out.
Great. So this we've got new mics, and next thing we know, I'm getting a new couch.
Home decor edition of the A to Z podcast.
I was going to say, we could bring your lovely wife in here to architect a new living arrangement for myself.
She was actually just shopping for a couch, like the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. A big couch.
Yeah. Well, you got to have room for one more.
Trying. That house is feeling tight.
It's a great house.
I love the house, but
listen, when you're ready for more space, you let me know.
I already told you off air what I would sell it for.
You let me know. I love your house.
I like my house too. It's a good house.
Especially with that new bathroom.
Yeah, the bathroom's great.
Mm-hmm.
So all right.
Well, enough about interior design and buying Andy's house. Let's talk about training.
Talk about optimal training versus best training.
Right.
I don't know this number, so don't talk to me.
Business call?
Nope. Someone, well, I mean, maybe, but they can leave me a voicemail.
Someone looking to buy your business?
Yeah, hopefully for $1 billion. So optimal versus best.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I brought this question up or whatever, mostly because I was perusing Quora today where I was answering some questions, but I have been asked often, and I'm sure that you've been asked often, what's the best exercise for blank?
Yeah.
Or what's the best diet for blank? Or whatever. There's always that question of what's the best way to accomplish XYZ. And you and I always have to give that nuanced answer like, well, it depends. And so we were debating the difference between best and more optimal, because optimal looks different for everybody else. Best would look different for everybody else. But instead of using the word best, which assumes, I guess, sort of a hierarchy, like there is the one thing that I should be doing the better or best,
mm-hmm.
more optimal is... trying to navigate the reality of real life, training, nutrition, all that.
Yeah, best exists in a vacuum.
Right.
Optimal exists in real life.
Right. Wow, you put it so succinctly.
Thank you. Trying to make this a short podcast.
Yeah, we are trying to make it a short podcast. We got 4 minutes to go. No, I'm joking. But we were joking about Mike Isratil and his training program, because most everybody that's going to listen to this podcast doesn't know who Mike Isratil is, but he is, he's got a PhD in exercise science.
He actually went to school at ETSU.
That's right. He studied under Dr. Stone, right?
That's...
Dr. Stone is a researcher at East Tennessee State University.
I was going to say, that's where you pick up with your Tennessee academic.
Well, because I emailed Dr. Stone before I decided to stay and get my master's degree at Tennessee. I emailed Dr. Stone at East Tennessee State University, which is up in like Johnson City, Tri-Cities area. Anyway, so Mike Isratil studied there. He's a behemoth of a human being, just a ginormous man. And we were both laughing that his actual workouts are incredibly succinct, if not insanely hard.
Your quote was comically small.
Comically small.
And my addition was for a comically big man.
Right.
Big being relative, I think he's shorter than me, which is really saying something, but I think he's...
Is he really?
Yeah.
No way. Well, he's got legs like tree trunks,
He's probably got 100 pounds on me.
Yeah, he's a big man. But we were laughing because his workout program is like two exercises, two or three sets each.
Yep.
Now, that said, they're insanely hard. And we should sidebar this conversation with, he is, I would say, an elite level trainee. Right, at his size, elite. Like, he's put in the hours. For him to sustain his physique or make improvements requires not as much effort at this point in his career, I would imagine. In other words, and I'm curious what you think about this, there becomes a point, like early in your training career, it's probably a good idea to do a lot of stuff. Lots of stuff. Explore it all. Do all the things. All the presses. All the rows. All the squats. All the deadlifts. All the things. And then I feel like once you get to like an intermediate level or like a pretty elite level, your training is probably so hard at whatever it is that you're doing, and your recovery is going to be tough, that you don't have to do as much to sustain what you have. In other words, he invested his time for probably a couple decades now. He doesn't have to invest tons of sets and reps and 15 different exercises in a workout in order to sustain what he has now.
Sure, sure.
So it's almost like once you get to his level, the input... Now, again, I don't want to diminish his effort, because his effort's probably way higher than anybody I've ever met in my life. So he's got really elite level effort, but the total content, if you were to look at his workout, you'd be like, what is this? It's like four things. Not even, it's like two things.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that it's funny when you talk about this yin and yang relationship with novelty versus simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right in the sense, like, when you first start off, you should be exposed to a lot of things. Kind of in the same way where you would make the argument for, like, a youth athlete exposing a kid to many different sports.
Right.
See what they like, see what they gravitate towards, see what they're naturally gifted at, that whole thing. You specialize too early, you leave, you know, gains on the table.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Unless you're
really the chosen one for a particular sport. Like, Tiger Woods was making putts on national television at 2.5 years old.
Right.
But that's a little bit of a different conversation.
Sure.
For the rest of us who just want to make the most out of our quote unquote athletic or training career, a lot of novelty, tasting a lot of different things, when you have the time, energy to do so, makes a lot of sense. So, you know, everything from Pilates to yoga to kickball to track and field to powerlifting, Olympic lifting, CrossFit, jiu-jitsu, different martial arts, calisthenics, kettlebells, fill in the blank. When you have the curiosity to pursue these things, and obviously the time, it definitely benefits you to do so. And, you know, with newbie gains, again, you can do like almost anything and see some great progress. As you get better, or as you, you know, find your lane and you want to get better at a particular type of lifting or a particular skill or a particular sport, obviously specificity, you know, comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where, yeah, when you've put years in, decades in, you might have one lift that you've mastered for each pattern, a push, a pull, a hinge, a squat, and you can just blast those
mm-hmm.
because you know how to get the most out of those exercises. You know how to put the most intensity into them. And yeah, I would venture to say when you're at an elite level, someone like a Mike Isratel, who's, you know, like a bodybuilder. I think he also does jiu-jitsu. His training is probably just as much, if not more intense, you might say, but it's also very constrained or constricted because he can get more out of two sets of, you know, fill in the blank exercise than, you know, most people would out of like a whole, you know, training session.
Sure.
Because he's got the muscle, he's got the drive, he's got the focus, he's got the intensity, he knows how to push himself so that your entire program can essentially fit on a napkin.
It's interesting because now that I'm thinking about it, there have been days where, because we do our Saturday lift or whatever, I'll try to get my like regularly scheduled workouts in Monday through Friday. Saturday is a free-for-all. We kind of just do whatever we want to do. But I will admit that there are some Saturday workouts where, depending on what we're doing, if we talk about all the things we're going to do, I'm not going to sandbag a set, but I'm also not going to blow it up either. Like we did front squats and pull-ups the other day. Now, the front squats were very intense. The pull-ups were only sets of five, which were not that hard, truthfully. And I think there's probably a little bit of reservation left, at least in a couple things that we were doing, because we knew that we had more stuff to do. In other words, we had an idea of kind of all the things we wanted to accomplish that day. Not that the effort wasn't there, because there was effort, but there probably, you know, if you had told us we have to go really hard on every single set of everything we're going to do, we might not have accomplished as much as we did. So in other words, we kind of navigated an entire program knowing full well that we had energy that we had to give elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
In Mike Isratel's case, laser-like precision and focus on one or two things. So I kind of, in a way, respect that, because if you said you're going to go to the gym and all you're going to do is front squat and pull up, and not only that, but I want every single set to feel like a punch in the face.
Mm.
I don't know if we would have made it on the turf.
Right.
I think we would have done, just if we had done that, been like, just keep going, keep going, keep going on that front squat, especially, and on those pull-ups, I think we would have been toast.
Yeah.
But we didn't, because we knew we had other stuff we wanted to do. Now, that's fine. I'm not saying like what we did was a wrong or less optimal way. Doesn't matter. We're like, Saturdays are supposed to be fun. That's why we're there. But for, I don't know. I think there's a lesson to be learned there. If I want to write a program and I want to eke out every last bit of strength or effort or whatever, I might not let a client do 5 or 6 things. I might be like, we're going to do 2 things or 3 things. And I want those 3 things to smoke you by the end of this hour or whatever. So I kind of like that idea of laser-like focus and a monumental amount of effort for like 2 things. Being like, all right, that's all I have to do. That's all I have to do today is 2 things. I'm going to pour all of it in to those 2.
Yeah.
I kind of like that idea.
Yeah, and that's the ironic thing about long workouts, complicated workouts, and I've mentioned this before on the show, CrossFit to one degree or the other, is that ostensibly these are training sessions that are designed to elicit higher intensity, but what they really do is they teach you how to pace.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of going 100%, you're just kind of, you're doing your best half-ass
right
through a long, grueling workout.
Which
is not good.
You're sort of parceling, if that's a word, your resources.
Yeah.
You're what's the word I'm looking for? Managing resources.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I don't necessarily think that those are bad workouts, but at the end of the day, there's just a whole spectrum of things to explore, and we just have to pick up cues and clues from like the best of the best. And when you go in and you can feel the difference, you can feel the difference between totally going as hard as you can, 100% on 1 or 2 things, versus spending 100% of your energy parceled out over 6 or 8 things.
Mm-hmm.
There's a different feeling to that. I mean, it feels good to do a lot of different exercises and,
sure,
you know, that whole thing. But yeah, I think the part of the spectrum that most people overlook are the 1 lift a day type programs.
Yeah.
You know, and I can even remember back in the day, I did I think it was a month long, maybe 6 weeks. It was called the Justa Singles Program. So Steve Justa, I'm probably going to get this wrong because I haven't read anything about him in many years, but he was like one of these like kind of garage or backwoods dinosaur training, you know, characters who, you know, like, I don't know, like lifted like old tractors or whatever, something like that. I might be getting this guy conflated with dinosaur training. Cubic? Brooks Cubic, are you familiar with that guy?
Mm-mm.
I get those two guys confused. But in any case, this guy, the Justa Singles program, I think I picked it up out of a Pavel book, but it was just deadlifts, and it was like X number of deadlift singles, like 3 to 5 times a week, if I'm remembering right.
Oof.
So it was like one day was just 15 singles.
Ugh.
Of a certain deadlift weight. And then like the next might be 10, and then the next might be 20. So it kind of waved, and obviously like the weights waved, but the whole idea was you went in and all you did was deadlift, and all you did was singles. And you just refined the technique. You went hard, obviously depending on what your total volume was. And, you know, like the other, let's say, 2 days a week, I basically did everything else. Basically just upper body pump up work or whatever. But for that 4 to 6 weeks, like the deadlift was the goal.
Hmm.
And that was one of the programs that got me real comfortable with like 315 deadlifts at the time. Like I kind of remember that, like those 3 plates or 6 plates as it were. Was kind of like you know, doable, but always kind of rusty, you know? But I remember like running that program to the point where like I was doing, you know, again, like 25 singles of 315, you know, in the course of a workout.
Wow.
You know, but it's just, it's high frequency. Mm-hmm. It's dedicated, it's laser-like focus. And that's like, it's kind of like the Danjon easy strength approach. It's mm-hmm. like you were really constraining things. Mm-hmm. Two sets of five or three sets of three, you know, however that is. And it's like, you just do it every day. And that's a very special way to train. Narrowing your focus, but increasing your intensity.
I kind of like that. So going back to the
And then you see someone like Mike Isratel, maybe to kind of put a bow on that. If you want to see an interesting like training vlog example, I'm really not much for like watching people work out these days. I very much used to be. Back in the day, I used to love watching people work out to like motivate me to work out. But these days it feels like more like a waste of time, which 99% of the time it is. But if you check out Mike Isratel or Renaissance Periodization on YouTube, he'll do these like special guest training sessions where like he will train a bodybuilder or a powerlifter or an Olympic lifter or a CrossFitter or a track and field athlete. And he'll take them like through one of his workouts. And yeah, there are only like a few exercises, only a few sets. And, you know, they just do a good, robust warm-up, and he'll just nitpick range of motion, pause, tempo, more reps, blah, blah, blah. So he'll make every set count for as much as possible. And so that's fun to watch in the sense of it can give you a perspective for like what's possible with just one exercise through like one set.
I think what's interesting to tie back into the sort of best versus optimal is, let's say this out loud. What's best is what's optimal. So it's not a versus. They're the same thing. What is best is what is optimal. And I think to tie back into this conversation we're having about Mike Isratel is it's largely, at least in terms of training, whatever the exercise that we're taught, best exercise for whatever, is largely irrelevant unless we can optimize the effort that's put behind it. So if that means a barbell deadlift or a trap bar deadlift or a barbell bench or pull up or whatever the exercise may be, it doesn't really matter what the exercise is so long as we can laser-like focus or turn up to 11, the effort behind it. That is what's most optimal. I think, too, what I like to do, at least in my gym, is try to simplify things in terms of learning curve so that we can optimize the time that we're using to train, right? Like I'm not gonna choose an exercise that requires a big learning curve or takes weeks to figure out because we don't have that kind of, we have that time, but we don't have a lot of time. We have a couple hours a week to really try to push towards goals. So how do I optimize those programs so that we can, instead of focusing on, you know, technique this or that, or body position this or that, let's just go as hard as we can in the most simple, basic ways so that we can optimize your time in that space. So whatever is best is whatever we can optimize. It's not like there's a singular exercise or a singular diet plan or whatever. It's something that you can do consistently and put a ton of effort behind. That is what is best / optimal.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you're anything like me, maybe it's a generational thing, I don't know, but certainly I was very taken by like the bodybuilding.com like content machine,
mm-hmm.
or even maybe like Testosterone Nation,
yeah,
where like everything is nitpicked to death, and like there's always a secret exercise or a new technique, or you know, if you want a chest workout, you've got to do incline, decline, flat, cable, you know, 6 or 8 different chest exercises
mm-hmm.
to work your chest, because there's always, you got to bring up this weak link, you got to hit these angles, you've got to go through all these different patterns, all these special combinations, this and that and the other thing. And occasionally there's an exercise that comes along where it's like, okay, yeah, I need to be doing more of that. But the vast majority of the time, it's like, if you want to develop a strength in a certain lift or a certain pattern, or build a muscle, just do the exercise that you know how to do and just get stronger at it.
Mm-hmm.
Get better at it. Obviously, progressive overload.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be like still like a subconscious thing, even I think in a lot of our psyches, you know, as lifters, is like we've been instilled with this idea. It's largely driven by marketing and clickbait.
Sure.
And, you know, useless content where it's like, you're missing this thing. Here's the secret combination. So being able to kind of deprogram that, unplug from that a little bit, and just do what's right in front of you to the best of your ability, and then better. I mean, half the time I feel like that's the job of a personal trainer,
mm-hmm.
is to tell people to like get off the internet, stop asking so many questions.
I think that's the tricky thing about running like a fitness business with general population clients, is this careful balance between like novelty and consistency. Every time we try to introduce a new movement for the sake of newness, which I get, because training can be a bore a lot of times. But every time we introduce a new movement, there's a learning curve. And all of a sudden you're weak again in whatever we're trying to learn. And that's fine. If we've got time, all right. But if we're trying to get results and get results quickly, every time you explore something new, we're in a weird way, not regressing, but in terms of overall strength and muscle development, sort of stagnating a little bit, because now we're trying to learn a different movement. There's some cueing and techniques involved. Now we got to get used to doing it for a few weeks so that we can actually exploit, you know, this newfound movement or whatever. And then if you're looking for novelty again, you switch it up. So this idea, going back to the marketing or whatever, like changing things up every 4 weeks or whatever, is largely a marketing thing. It's not a physiological thing. It's not like what do they call it, muscle confusion? That's not a thing. Like, muscle confusion doesn't exist. It's, you're literally just changing an exercise, and now your body's, I guess you could say it's confused, because now you got to figure out how to do that movement pattern. You're relearning a movement pattern, which makes you inherently weaker and less capable. So it's tricky, because I understand that people like novelty. They want to try new stuff. They want to change it up, so on and so forth. But you have to be at least consistent with a few things if you really ever want to like push through mediocre or average. If you want to be better than mediocre or average, you have to kind of like at least hang on to a few things for a little while. So practically speaking, what I like about our Saturday workouts is that's our air quotes novelty, because it's there's no real rules, right? We're just like, hey, how are you feeling? What'd you train? Oh, well, I'm sore here, here, and here, so maybe we do a little bit of this or that. And so it's on the fly. But the rest of the week, I'm sure yours is the same, the rest of the week is probably fairly programmed, or at least maybe not like zeroed in like Mike Isertel, but probably pretty narrow in terms of constraints. So, yeah, I think that's the hardest part on the coaching side is balancing what the client wants, which is a little bit of novelty here and there, and consistency. And in as a similar vein to that consistency, that effort piece, because that's really what carries results, is being able to put forth a lot of effort into whatever it is that we're doing.
Yeah, it was a funny example of that, maybe you could say, that was actually playing out on Saturday. Because there we were, front squatting, some decent weight.
Yeah.
Putting some decent effort in. And across the gym, there was, we're not poking fun. We're not gym shaming anybody or anything. But there was a gentleman who was front squatting a handle on a cable machine.
Right. Oh, I remember that. Yeah. We were both, you know, like...
It was like, okay, is he curling? Is he front squatting? And it's like, okay, honestly, I'm not even going to knock it until I try it. Maybe front squatting on a cable machine setup. For those who are listening, just imagine having like an easy bar that like you do biceps curl with,
mm-hmm.
that's attached to the cable machine. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're standing at least a couple feet away from the cable machine, or maybe a couple inches away. And then once you hold it up in the shoulder position at the top of your curl, just imagine squatting that.
Right. It was weird.
It was a little bizarre. So
he got good depth, though.
Can't argue with the depth.
I was going to say, if I remember right, his depth is actually pretty good. So yeah.
So maybe he'll graduate to maybe a goblet squat, and then maybe he'll be front squatting 225 here in a couple months.
Again, going back to, if I have to play devil's advocate, going back to optimal versus best, is it the best version of a squat? Probably not. Is it optimal for that guy? Maybe. We don't know. We don't know his training history. We don't know his injury history or his mobility restrictions or even just his experience. Maybe he's not comfortable with a bar on that front rack position. That's fine. Maybe he's never learned. So I think you and I would argue that the bar would be the best, air quotes, in terms of like a squatting tool, but more optimal for him in this instance, maybe not. We don't know. So we can't pass judgment because we really don't know anything about what this guy can or cannot do or what his experience is. So I hate to do that, but I got to do it. I hate to be that guy because I wanted to be like, what's this guy doing?
Yeah, that's why you're a good foil for the show, Andy.
Yeah, but again, going back to like what's optimal versus what's best will largely depend on who you are, what you know, what you've done. You know, do you have experience? Are you comfortable? Hell, at the same time he was doing that, to your point, he could have been doing goblet squats and he wasn't. The gym was busy and all three racks were taken in the area that we were in.
That's right.
One of us being in one of them. So in fairness, now I didn't look hard enough at the other squat racks because there's multiples of them, but it was busy and all three squat racks in the area that you and I were in were taken. So for all we know, he was just warming up his front squat with that cable machine, just waiting for us to get out of there.
What if he came up and he was like, hey, leave those plates on?
Yeah, leave those plates on. That's my warm-up set. I kind of wish he had. That would have been really funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, again, no judgment. You're in the gym. That's what counts as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Speaking about what's best and what's optimal is show up.
Right.
That's the hardest part. Most people don't even show up.
Yep.
So going back to like answering questions on Quora today or whatever, people are like, what's the best? And I'm like, do anything, literally anything. Go for a walk. I would love for people to strength train 3 times a week and go for walks every day, but the reality is obesity rates are still on the rise. So if we're going to talk about what's best or what's optimal, what would be optimal is people just going for walks at the very least.
Yeah.
So again, depending on the environment, who we're talking about, what is best and what is optimal has a wide range of what that looks like.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. And ideally, that's what a trainer is there to do, is to jumpstart that break of inertia, to break that habit of inertia, is to get you moving whether you like it or not.
Right.
And that's the best and the most optimal thing.
Right.
It's doing something over nothing.
Right.
It's a big step in the right direction. Cool, man. Well, anything else on your mind?
I'm really trying to dig deep and think about something, but those core questions are pretty easy to answer.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good place to wrap up with.
Okay. Well, we'll see how the new mics sound.
Yeah. In case this sounds absolutely terrible, I don't want to subject anyone to
any more time in this podcast.
Any more than what's absolutely necessary. Okay.
I think 37, 36 minutes is plenty for finding out if this even worked at all.
It's a respectable podcast.
It's a respectable podcast.
It's an honest day's work.
We're optimizing our time right now.
That's right. That's right. See, we're tying it all back together.
Here we go.
For episode 81?
Yep.
81. Wow, look at that. Cool. Well, time rolls on. It's August. Fall is just around the corner. I cannot wait.
I was going to say, don't be giving me that. Oh, it's going to be cool soon. No, we got 8 weeks, buddy. 8 weeks.
It'll be cool before you know it. Just imagine how much more enjoyable yard work is going to be when it's chilly out.
I mean, until it's snowing. Because I think we've done some yard work when it was snowing.
Oh, of course.
Remember how the bar on the trap bar on the Carries on Saturday was really, really hot?
Oh, my gosh.
And then there's going to be that day where we go in and it's going to be freezing cold. Your hands are going to, like, peel off. Yeah. Ice cold bars. That's how we like it.
Dude, I'll take it ice cold. I'll take it fire hot. Just give me that iron, baby.
Oh, buddy.
We'll wrap up with that.
Yeah, that's a good place.
A to Z, no BS. We thank you so much for listening to this of all episodes, and we will see you next time.
Goodbye.